Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you had some sort of a spiritual victory, but then shortly on the heels of that, you experienced defeat? One spiritual victory does not guarantee another. We're going to see an example of that in the life of Israel today. Israel enjoyed a tremendous victory at Jericho. That was followed by a humiliating defeat. Let's learn from their example in a lesson called Secret Sins.
Well, today we move from the great victory over Jericho into the dismal swamp of defeat at Ai. The opening words here in Joshua chapter 7 spell trouble. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Now, earlier here in chapter 6, the people had been told that all the treasures of Jericho were to go into the treasury of the Lord. Everything else was to be destroyed in judgment. It was sort of under the ban. So the city of Jericho was, in a very real sense, a first fruits offering of the land back to God. And now when we begin chapter 7, we know something Joshua doesn't know yet. We're told in verse 1 here that Achan has stolen from Jericho some of these things from self. Well, now as a result of this sin, God removes his protection in battle. And here in verses 2 through 5, Israel is rather surprisingly defeated at the city of Ai. Now, you need to understand that Israel was defeated at Ai because Joshua and the entire nation were self-confident. In fact, they didn't even bother asking for God's help. Had they done so, they would have been made aware of Achan's sin. But we have no record in Scripture that Joshua went to the Lord before battling the army of Ai. You know, that's kind of like you and me starting our day without even talking to the Lord. Oh, today's not going to be that big of a deal. Oh, it's very dangerous to underestimate the enemy and overestimate our own strength. Now, let me make some practical observations as we work through this passage and apply them to the believer today. The first principle is this: the believer is vulnerable to temptation following spiritual success. It's easy to get the false impression, you know, after a victory that, well, you can sort of coast. You can let down your guard. You can take it easy rather than remain alert and prayerful and humble. The Apostle Paul warned the believer in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 to take heed, that is, be careful, watch out, while you are standing, lest you fall. Well, here after this great victory at Jericho, the Israelites are thinking Ai is, you know, just a piece of cake. We're just going to send a couple thousand men over there, and we're going to clean it out. There's another observation I want to make. It's this: the disobedience of one individual can have a profound effect on the entire community. Verse 1 says here, the people of Israel broke faith. Now, wait a second. I thought it was Achan who sinned. Well, down here in verse 11, the Lord says, Israel has sinned. They have transgressed. They have taken some of the devoted things. You see, from God's perspective, the entire nation is impacted by this one man's actions. And there is this principle at work that your sin, my sin, really does affect other people around us. One person's secret sin can sort of lower the spiritual temperature of an entire church family, can't it? It can influence and hurt that church's overall testimony. We impact each other, probably more than we think. Well, now Achan had taken some clothing. We're told that he took some money and he hid it inside his tent. And that lets us know his entire family is part of this plot. I wonder today if you've hidden something in your computer files. Maybe there's somebody at work you're getting too close to. You think it isn't going to hurt anybody. Well, Achan's sin was nothing less than idolatry. He wanted something God told him he couldn't have. And you know something, beloved? Anytime you want something, anytime you want someone that God has forbidden, you're making that object, you're making that person an idol. You're setting God aside in favor of something else. Paul says in the New Testament book of Colossians that covetousness is idolatry, chapter 3, verse 5. That gold, that clothing became more important to Achan than God was. And that's idolatry, when something becomes more important to you than God. And let me tell you, we live in a covetous world. Every commercial, every advertisement sort of strikes that chord in our hearts for more. Idols are everywhere. The problem is, covetousness isn't just dangerous, it's contagious. Now, what's God's judgment on Achan for his idolatry? Let me tell you, it's the same as it is today. The wages of sin is death. Now, death might not happen as soon or as quickly as it will here in Israel during these covenant days in the Old Testament. But ultimately, God will judge everyone. And without Christ having paid the penalty for our idolatry, we don't stand a chance before a holy God. Well, now Joshua has to figure out who brought God's judgment on Israel because nobody's confessing to it. So according to God's instructions here, Joshua begins to cast lots in verse 16. He identifies the tribe, he casts lots, he identifies the clan, he casts lots, then the family, and finally, the guilty individual. Now, why does God choose this rather laborious, slow method? Well, I believe he does it to impress upon the entire nation the seriousness of sin. Every tribe's going to stand there. All the people are going to be thinking, am I right with God? This long process causes every individual in the nation to consider his or her relationship with God. But you know, it also gives Achan an opportunity. It gives him time to confess and repent. So as each lot is cast and the choice narrows to his tribe, and then to the clan of Zerah. It's getting a little closer. Then the lot identifies his grandfather, Zabdi, and then his father, Carmi. Will Achan step forward now and repent? Not at all. He's going to wait until that lot points to him and his back is against the wall. But even then, he's only remorseful. He's not repentant. Remorse is feeling badly because you got caught. Repentance is feeling badly because you sinned in the first place. And then repentance means you turn away from that sin. Well, verse 22 here describes what happened next. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to Achan's tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. Now, we know from verse 25 that Achan and his entire family are given the death penalty from God. Now, keep in mind that in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 16, God's word says that no child will die for the sins of his parents, and parents will not die for the sins of their children. The effects can last generations, but not the penalty. So it's clear that Achan's entire family here has been involved in this secret sin, and all of his family's old enough to be involved willingly. You know, sin is always destructive for an individual, a family, a church, a nation. The judgment of God might not come suddenly, but it will arrive eventually. Well, now that Achan and his family have paid the just penalty for bringing sin into the camp, they're judged by death, the Lord tells Joshua to go back again, and this time to conquer the city of Ai. All of chapter 8 here basically deals with this battle plan for conquering Ai. And it's a very different plan, by the way, than the one they used against Jericho. God tells Joshua here in chapter 8 and verse 2, "Lay an ambush against the city behind it." So the army attacks from the front and the ambush comes in from behind. And with this plan, the armies of Israel are finally victorious over Ai. Even more importantly, here in this chapter, they're going to experience a revival as a nation. They're going to make a fresh commitment to follow the Word of God and obey the will of God. And let me tell you, beloved, any revival in your life or mine today is going to look just like theirs did. It's going to be related to confessing our sin, even those secret sins to God, then turning from them and every day making a fresh commitment, even though we'll fail, but a fresh commitment to obeying His word and His will. Well, until next time, together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope this lesson has blessed you today as Stephen Davey continues teaching through God's Word on the wisdom journey. He called today's lesson, Secret Sins. If you're able, please support us with a donation. All of the funding we have to produce these lessons comes from donations made by listeners like you. Visit wisdomonline.org to give online today. Thank you, and then join us next time as we continue the wisdom journey.